The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread, when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, I was thinking this morning in my own cheeky way, you know, like how difficult it is to spend extended periods of time in the Gospel of John. And it, of course, the divine sense of humor is that I'm going to be tripped up by simple words like boat, you know, today. Like, I can't even read. Okay, fine. That makes it more difficult to make our way through the Gospel of John, I think. But this is, we're well into the sixth chapter here. We're discovering, what we've called the Eucharistic discourse. We're going to see Jesus, the bread of life, and it all happens in the context of Passover. These are all pointers for us of what Jesus is going to accomplish, how he's going to communicate not only how he's going to drive forward God's saving plan, but how he's going to communicate the life of that saving plan to us. And we see it, I think, right at the end of this passage, which is where I'd like to end. So I'm going to have to go back and do a little bit more digging in the beginning of the passage. But where we end, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. Okay, so this is faith. This is what faith is. It's adhering to Jesus. And it's not kind of, reaching out in the darkness, shouting out into the void. Faith is a matter of seeing Jesus and adhering to him, believing, entrusting ourselves to him. Okay, this is the work of Christianity, whole and entire. Whole and entire is believing in the one God sent. It's believing in Jesus. Again, entrusting ourselves to him, adhering to him, clinging to him, trusting him, following him. That's the entire work of Christianity. Okay? Now, just to go back a little bit, because I think there are other lessons in the scriptures for us. I mean, besides the, okay, wow, like what is going on here? Jesus feeding the 5,000, walking on the sea. And then you've got all this kind of, I don't know, it's the reason why it's quite choppy, the language, is because there's a lot of choppy activity. There's a lot of choppy and kind of misguided activity in the passage. So it's like they're following Jesus, but are they following Jesus? I mean, look at his reproof, really, to them. He said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." Because you had your fill of the bread, you came looking for me. I mean, it must have been pretty good bread. You know, these are not an easy journey to get from where they were to where Jesus is. I mean, I imagine it was good bread, but anyway, this is for your imagination. But let's look at this. Not because you saw signs, you were looking for me, looking for Jesus. Not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves. Okay, so here Jesus is making the distinction between signs proper and the loaves. And you go, but wasn't that the sign? Okay, but the sign, the feeding of the multitude in the wilderness, was a Passover sign. It was a bread from heaven sign. Just as your ancestors ate manna in the desert and still died, those who eat the bread of life. Okay, so we'll get into that later. But this is it. Jesus gives the sign, and the sign is of the inbreaking kingdom of God, where God, again, is pulling up into the present those things that are otherwise promised at the end of the age, right? His order of holiness and justice, the entire restoration of the world and the like. This is all being brought up into the present in Jesus, and then in and through his ministry. His ministry that gives hope and gives life and gives healing and strength and comfort and consolation and the rest, okay? So that's what a sign is. And they were going after him not because they saw signs, because they saw the sign of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God and were so eager for it that they were willing to give themselves to Jesus in order to see it through to completion, to its full flourishing, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. So participate in the same activity and be on the wrong side of it, right? Because you ate the loaves, so you enjoyed the bread, and that was it. So there's a question here already in the passage of what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to go to him. Again, because, and we'll see this language throughout the scriptures, the crowds demanding a sign and Jesus saying, no sign will be given. Because what they're demanding is a sign on their own terms, right? They want Jesus, and here he's talking about God, the Father, God has set his seal on Jesus. So on Jesus is God's stamp of approval. And we're struggling with the crowds, at least in this passage, to have Jesus put his stamp of approval on us. Okay, but it doesn't work that way. We want the stamp of God also on us, but we have to then desire that. We want to know, okay, what is the plan and purpose of God? How do I play my role in that plan? Right? This is the eagerness, I think, with which the last question is answered. Right? What can we do to accomplish the works of God? Okay, so let's take it and say, okay, Jesus is shaping the story for us. And then we're saying, okay, yeah, like this, we actually do want to participate in this great story by which every wrong will be righted and a world that is out of joint will be put to rights. And not just a world, okay, because I don't know if you can tell, but I had to look in the mirror this morning, okay? So am I together enough that you think I looked in the mirror or no? Ron, he's half and half. Yeah, no, it's okay. No, he's very generous. Okay, so I had to look in the mirror this morning, so I got to see not only that the world is out of joint, but that I am as well. And I'm eager for the putting to rights of the world, because I don't really like living out of joint or out of sorts, right? So I'm eager with the crowd. We're eager with the crowd. What can we do to accomplish the works of God? What can we do to accomplish the works of God? We want to see this promised age come to be. We want the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus says, this is the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent. Okay? The kind of permanent, rebuttal of ideology, left and right and up and down and what and roundabout, which they all are, right? The kind of constant, permanent rebuttal of any ideology, of any agenda that isn't Jesus. The agenda is Jesus and the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Right? The truth, capital T, is Jesus. Okay? There's no truth that trumps Jesus. Yeah, there's no ideology that overrules him or overcomes him or whatever it may be. It's Jesus, and it's our adhering to him. It's our following him in faith and faithfully. Okay, so he's making the way. My friends, we know what the way is, okay? We know what the way is because, you know, stubborn old Thomas, you know, he said to Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And so Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the same here, right? We want to have eternal life. Do not work for food that perishes. Any agenda other than the Jesus agenda. Any ideology that isn't just Jesus in the flesh, right? Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. For the food that has us tap into the life of heaven and bring it to birth on earth. Right? And doesn't have the breath of God's Spirit in it. That's what we want. We live for the breath of God. We live for His Holy Spirit. And being possessed of the Spirit, we're driven to be about His work in the world, the inbreaking kingdom of God, the full flourishing of His creation, the reconciliation of God with all peoples. Right? Everything we go out and do, we're animated and nourished and sustained by God's own life of charity, to be the most generous people the world has ever seen, and so raise up His fallen world in the power of His resurrection.